Now, something that I really don't get, and I used to work in advertising, are those toothbrush adverts with the tagline, "Brush like a pro." Well, you know, I always enjoyed brushing my teeth, but, you know, I used to do it as a boy. But it wasn't until I was on a school trip, and we were in a dormitory, and one of my teachers saw me brushing my teeth, and he said, "I can see you've got potential, son." And he lined me up with a trainer. And so I was there every morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I used to go brushing my teeth, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was there. And then, but it was when I turned 18, I turned professional, and I represented Great Britain in the World Toothbrushing Championships. Have I missed something about toothbrushing that has kind of gone professional since I was... No, of course not. I suppose what the company is trying to do is to persuade us to buy their product because it's inferring that it's a professional tool to get the job done properly. It's not the sort of rubbish an amateur toothbrusher would use. And the Lord's Prayer can be seen to begin in what we might call a sort of a professional way, wouldn't it? You know, it's something along the lines of, as we've seen over the last few weeks, "Almighty, sovereign, heavenly God, you graciously adopt us as your children. And so we long for you to be honoured and glorified as your holy will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we look ahead to the time when your indescribably holy and perfect kingdom comes in all of its fullness." Well and good, isn't it? It's the sort of thing you might expect to hear in a cathedral or something like that. Very nice, professional. But then it takes a turn towards the mundane and the amateur, doesn't it? "And give us today our daily bread." But far from sort of Jesus running out of steam at this point, this line actually earths his instruction for our prayers by connecting what we say to our almighty and our gracious God to the most mundane element and need in our everyday lives, food. In our gospel reading from Matthew 15, Jesus has been healing people with acute problems, that the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, we're told. It's all dramatic stuff. But Jesus is also concerned for the more basic needs that people have. After the healing and the restoring and the teaching, Jesus looks at the crowds on the mountainside and says to his disciples, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. They've run out. Anything they brought with them is pretty much gone. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." When I was admitted to hospital a couple of weeks back, I hadn't had any breakfast because I was poorly. You know, I just couldn't. So at lunchtime on the ward, when I was feeling a little bit better, I was overjoyed. This young lady arrived and she went, "Would you like a bowl of soup?" "Oh, yes." And she brought me a bowl of soup. It was the best vegetable soup I think I've ever had. And then she came and she brought me, I can't remember what it was now, but like a full meal and a pudding. And the great thing was, she came back in the evening as well. Well, exactly, this is a different food, but, you know, herb soup and then main course and then pudding. It was fantastic. It was great. You know, it was lovely. But Liz and her sister, who came down to join me, they weren't quite so lucky. They had to sort themselves out and ended up with a rather floppy sandwich from the canteen. It's no use, is it? I mean, you don't want to make someone better in the hospital and then let them collapse of hunger. But Jesus doesn't care for the patients, does he? He has compassion on everyone. He takes the little food that's available and he gives thanks to Father God for it. And then he distributes it, not just to those he's healed and restored. He distributes it to everyone. There are 4,000 men, plus women, plus children. They all eat enough to be satisfied and even collect up 7 basketfuls of leftovers. And Jesus does that because that is the attitude of God. That's the concern and the generosity of the Father. Take a look at our other reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he says, God is able to bless you abundantly. God is able to bless you abundantly. He's able to do it. But it's something that we very easily forget, especially in the Western world, where we're relatively comfortable. However, it's something we need to remember. It's a blessing that we need to be thankful for and thankfully ask for. Because a lot of us, we don't worry about our daily bread. whatever that consists of. It's just there when we open the cupboard, or it's in the fridge, or it's in the freezer, you know. Or if the worst comes to the worst, you know, you can pop out to the shop, can't you? It's not far to the nearest shop. You know, get a loaf of bread or a ready meal. You could even phone out for, or do it on your app for a pizza or some fish and chips or something. But that was not the case for the people in Jesus' day. And it's actually still not the case for many people today. According to the World Bank, 10% of the world's population, and that's 376 million people, live in extreme poverty. And that means they have to get by on less than $1.90 a day. And I worked that out, that's about £45 a month that they have to live on. According to globalissues.org, almost half of the world, over 3 billion people, live on little more than $2.50 a day, with at least 80% of humanity living on less than $10 a day. But we're all right, aren't we? Are we? Well, I recently read an interesting article about how few steps it takes to go from being comfortable to being homeless. It's less than 10. The reality is that none of us are secure as we believe we are. Ask the people in Syria. Ask the people in Paradise, California. And even if we don't end up in such a terrible situation of homelessness or as refugees, there are lots of families, there are lots of individuals who now rely on the provision of food banks who a few years ago would not have considered that they'd be in that situation now. Our comfortable existence is a lot more fragile than we would like to think. So Paul instructs Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. So it's no use saying, well, I'm not arrogant about my wealth, but actually we often put our hope in it, don't we? Not to put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. How wonderful to know that God has compassion on us. God cares about our daily needs. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus directs us to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and take our most basic, our most fundamental needs to Him. So we come to God, instructs Jesus, not to demand, God, give me my daily bread, but in dependence. We depend upon our gracious, loving Heavenly Father to sustain us. That's what little Noah's doing. You know, he depends. He's going to depend on James and Tessa for years. Trust me, I know. You know, that's what it's like. They still depend on you, don't they? But, you know, we come to our Heavenly Father always depending on Him. And as we do that, as we ask for daily bread to see us through today, we ask for today, says Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand this. Jesus isn't saying there's anything wrong with putting a little bit aside for a rainy day. But when he tells us the parable of the farmer who dies the night after, you know, do you remember the parable of the farmer? He sort of builds these big barns and fills them up, and he goes, well, I can retire now, I'm sorted. And that very night he dies. What's it all for? It's done him absolutely no good whatsoever. It's that reminder that actually we can become arrogant and we can put our hope too much in our worldly goods. And actually they cause us to become self-reliant rather than to be people who are God-reliant. Well, that's us. But what about those who don't have enough to eat? What about those in poverty or extreme poverty? What about those who need to visit the food bank to survive? How do they read all this? Well, Paul reminds us in our reading from 2 Corinthians that God's generosity towards us is within the context of our generosity towards others. God gives others their daily bread through us, through our generosity, if we have plenty. Look again at verses 7 to 8. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Our giving is not a condition or a clause, because that would be to demand, wouldn't it? We don't give under compulsion or reluctantly. But rather it's a reminder that to live as God's people, to do His will on earth as in heaven, to hallow His name, means to be like Jesus, who had compassion on those in need. Jesus didn't grudgingly provide for them. In fact, the word used in 2 Corinthians that we translate cheerful actually means hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. And it is quite comical, isn't it? That Jesus takes 7 loaves and a few small fish, gives thanks to God and then starts handing them out to the 4,000 plus crowd. You almost see a little wry smile on his face as he does that, and he watches the reactions of the disciples. What? Where's it keep coming from? How do we keep going? What? We're collecting leftovers in now? Can someone imagine Jesus sort of smiling, you know, just about all that? Are we joyful givers? Do we give grudgingly? No, I suppose I ought to fill a shoebox for Operation Christmas, John. I suppose I ought to give something to the food bank. So we ought to give a few pounds to church and then they'll give it away to Hope into Action. Not another charity envelope. Or are we joyful givers? Are we hilarious givers? Because I'm technically employed by God and he doesn't do my tax return, I have to do a self-assessment. And I wisely employ someone to do that for me. And I have to therefore declare what I've given to charity and mark down as gift aid. Now, I am so far away from this, but I would love one year for Daniel to go, how much have you given to charity this year? Are you joking? Because that's hilarious giving. That would be great, but I'm a long way. So that's a challenge for me. Is it one for you too, perhaps? The thing is that our righteousness is not earned by our good works. However, as Paul went on with the Corinthians to explain to them, our good works demonstrate our righteousness. Hence Paul quotes Psalm 112. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. As those who are made righteous by faith in Christ alone, we know that we're dependent upon God for our salvation. By praying, give us today our daily bread, we're reminded that we're dependent upon God for our physical needs too. And we're reminded that others are dependent on God and God's people for their needs as well. It reminds those of us who are able to help those who are struggling, to serve God by putting items in the food bank, by donating to Tear Fund, by giving to Christian Aid, by dropping a shepherd's pie round to someone's house, someone who's been struggling at the moment to get to the shops. There's nothing amateur about praying, give us today our daily bread. Never mind brushing like a pro. If we pray the Lord's Prayer, then we're praying like a pro, because a professional is defined as someone showing a high degree of skill or competence. To come to God and pray for daily prayer does just that. It reveals our faith and our dependence upon our Father God. It reveals our willingness to serve him and to be compassionate like Jesus and cheerful in our giving. It's a good prayer for us to pray as we put our hope in God, who richly provides for us with everything for our enjoyment. Thanks be to God. Amen.